Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world that we might know you. Open our eyes to see him more clearly today. Soften our hearts to appreciate your blessing. Grow our desire to see your church grow. And strengthen our will to live for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start by asking you a question. What is the most important question in the world? What is the most important question in the world? It's not, what's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And if you don't know the movie Holy Grail, it's not normally sermon research, but feel free to watch it this afternoon. It's not, will you take the red pill or the blue pill? Though that question is asking, do you really want to understand reality? It's not asking, who am I? Though it is very wise to know ourselves. And nor is the best question, how should I live? Though I suspect we all long to know what we should do with our lives. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus asks the most important question in the world, who do you say I am? This is the most important question. Who do you say Jesus is? Because our answer to this question will actually be our answer to the, well, what is reality? Our answer to this question will help us answer, well, who am I? And our answer to this question will shape how we live our lives. But this question must come first. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Our sermon series this term is Grand Designs, God's Vision for His Church. And today in Matthew 16, God will build his church. When we read our Bibles, we must read it in context. And Matthew 16 is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. We read chapters 1 to 4 earlier this year. Maybe you remember that. We saw how Jesus is the true king of Israel. He lived a life that Israel couldn't. And we'll keep reading Matthew's gospel next year in case you're wondering, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7. And after that, all these chapters that go by, Jesus kind of goes viral with all the things that he says and all the things that he does. He's the talk of all the towns. And so he gathers his disciples together and asks them, Matthew 16, verse 13, open your Bibles if you've closed them. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? Can you answer this question? I wonder, you might have the blessing of growing up in a Christian household. You've got Christian flatmates. You work in a Christian ministry or Christian school, Christian organization, and most of your friends, all your friends are here at church. And so if all your friends are here at church and all your friends are Christians, I want to encourage you in the nicest possible way to get out of it, to live a little, so you can answer this question, well, who do other people say Jesus is? Now, I suspect most of us have friends who aren't yet Christian, but do you know what they'd say if they were asked? Most of the people I've met in Canberra are Christians. It's kind of an occupational hazard, I guess, of being a minister, except when I go to parkrun. And I figured I can't have this challenge for you if I'm not willing to do it myself. So I left a gap in my sermon prep and said I've got to fill this bit in. Yesterday, parkrun, actually after the run, over coffee, I said to them, I need your help. I'm preparing a sermon. Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And so I want to ask you, who do you say that Jesus is? And just as a heads up, if you try this, if you try this, the temptation will be in the awkward silence that follows that you'll say, you'll just jump in. You want to bail them out. You want to give an answer. But if you can withstand that temptation, it's fascinating to see what happens. And so someone who wanted to kind of diffuse the tension tells a, well, kind of bad joke, thinks that's kind of the answer about it. But then God in his kindness made someone else say, well, you know, back to your original question, wasn't Jesus a tradie? And so we had a conversation about being a carpenter. You know, a proper trader used hammers, not just and screwdrivers, not just a drill to get your screws in, and one that had a donkey instead of a ute. That's what we pictured Jesus to be like. Someone else said, I think Jesus is a man ahead of his time. And then the conversation went somewhere else. If I was to ask you, who do your friends say that Jesus is? Could you answer it? Could you tell me what your friends think? And if not, why don't you ask them and feel free to blame me for you asking this awkward question? I don't mind. It'll be the start of an interesting conversation. At Christianity Explore, that course we started last Tuesday to explore what does the Bible say about Jesus, we asked this question, who do people say Jesus is? But it's actually a soft lead up to, but what about you? Who do you say Jesus is? More important than what other people think. What do you think? Who do you say Jesus is? This is the most important question in the world. And so let's keep reading. We're going to find out, well, what's the correct answer? How do we know the answer? Why is it the most important question? And why should we care? So what's the correct answer to this most important question? Have a look at verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus is, as Josh McDowell's great book says, more than a carpenter. He's more than a good teacher. He's more than someone that does good deeds. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. It means he's God's chosen king. Last week, if you were with us, we saw God's grand design for his church. His vision is a gathering of all kinds of people from every nation to enjoy his blessing forever. And who was at the center of that vision? It was Jesus, the Lamb, who was seated on a throne. Jesus is the King. He's God's King, not just the King of Israel, not just the King of the Commonwealth, as we have our Commonwealth Games. He's the King over all creation. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Why? What makes Jesus so special? Well, he's the Son of the living God. Jesus is God's Son. He is fully God, and God the Son is distinct from God the Father. Did you notice he referred to himself in verse 13 as the Son of Man? It's a reference back to the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 7, the verse on the screen. In my vision, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God, with all the authority and all the power and all the glory of God himself, the Ancient of Days. Do you know Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? Do you know the real Jesus? Is this your answer to the question, who do you say Jesus is? Now, to be honest, there's a slight flaw in the question, I reckon. I mean, this isn't scripted. It's not right to criticise what Jesus said. But I think there's a slight flaw in the question that when you say, who do you say? Well, you could say whatever you want, can't you? But what matters isn't our opinion of Jesus. It's whether our opinion is the right one, whether it's true. And if you're not sure if you've got it right, please ask a Christian friend. Come along to Christianity Explored with us on Tuesday nights. Please don't wait until Jesus returns and you see him face to face and realize, oh, I was wrong. And if you do know who Jesus is, that he is your King, he is the Son of the living God, the question still challenges us, who do you say Jesus is? Do we talk about Jesus? Have we publicly acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Lord of our lives? During the week, I was chatting with Andrew Lubbock about this, about publicly confessing that Jesus is Lord. It's what Foundations course is all about. it prepares you for baptism or for confirmation, to publicly promise, I want to live with Jesus as my King. And when we stand up for what we believe, when we say Jesus is my King, it strengthens our resolve to live this truth. Who do you say Jesus is? Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Is this your answer? Have you said it? Do you keep speaking it? But how do we know? How do we know that this is the answer? How can anyone know who Jesus is? Well, God reveals the answer. Have a look, verse 17. We keep reading. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Like I've already mentioned, Christianity Explored started last Tuesday, and the first session of this course, I'll always say to people, I'm theologically convinced that I cannot change your mind. Why? It's Matthew 16, verse 17. God is the one that needs to make this clear to you. Now, that's what happened earlier in Matthew's gospel. Do you remember? At Jesus' baptism, Matthew 3, verse 17, a voice from heaven, that is God, said, "This is my Son whom I love." God is the one who needs to reveal the truth about Jesus to our world, to us, and to each other. There's no magic bullet for evangelism. If there was a special incantation or formula to say in order to convert the world, don't you think we would have done it already? And so this is a great comfort for all Christians who want to see others saved. God needs to work in the hearts and minds of those whom we love who do not yet know Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. We lived in the kingdom of darkness and we had no light. But God, by his grace, shines his light. We need God's life-giving power to raise us from death. We need God's great revelation that we might confess that Jesus is the Messiah. We need God to reveal the truth about Jesus. And it's not just for us. That's true for everybody. And so we point other people to Jesus. And we pray. We point other people to Jesus and we pray. Through Christianity Explored, through our conversations with our not-yet-Christian friends, in our church services, in our life groups even, we open the Bible and point people to Jesus. But also, remember, God's grand design is so much bigger than St. Matt's. It's a great people from every nation, tribe, people and language. And so if we're getting on board with God's mission, we should ask with Paul, as he writes in Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And so what's the answer? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who bring the gospel. This verse is a great acknowledgement of the work of missionaries. In the month of August here at St. Matthew's, we're going to take the opportunity to learn more about those that we have sent to preach and to proclaim the good news into all the world. We're calling it a mission month, if you will. And it's not meant to be a side issue. It's not just a nice to have on top of what we regularly do. It's not just a sign of a healthy church. It creates a healthy church. First Anglican Archbishop, or Bishop at the time, of Melbourne was a man called Charles Perry. I was told he recruited more people to the Diocese of Melbourne from Moore College than the Bishop of Sydney did at the time. And he said, the best way to increase the health of the local church is to have a vital commitment to world mission. The best way to increase the health of a local church is to have a vital commitment to world mission. To lift our eyes You know, at St. Matt's, we're big fans of the Church Missionary Society, of CMS. We long to see a world that knows Jesus. Not just Waniasa, but so much more. We want to see a world that knows Jesus. Why? Because faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We point people, wherever they are, come and see Jesus. And then we pray. We pray, God, you have to do this work. God, you need to open eyes and soften hearts. God, you need to save people by your grace. And so we pray and we plead and we ask God to do what only God can do, save others. How can anyone know the answer to the most important question? God needs to reveal the truth about Jesus. And you might be sitting there thinking, okay, well, it's all about Jesus and God needs to reveal him. But why is this the most important question? And again, I want to take you back to last week. I want to take you back to the picture of Revelation chapter 7. Remember God's grand design. God is at work gathering his great people, the church. God's church is the ultimate reality. And so what is the foundation of all reality? What is the bedrock of God's eternal future? We'll read again Matthew 16, the next verse, verse 18. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, I've got a little footnote in my Bible after the name Peter that says the Greek word for Peter means rock. I think it's a nickname. If you turn back a few chapters in Matthew 10, he lists out the 12 disciples, and there are two Simons there. So how do you tell them apart? Well, there's Simon the Zealot, and there's Rocky. We just call him Rocky. Well, if he was an Aussie disciple, we would. And Jesus says, you're Rocky, and on this rock I will build my church. Simon's not the rock on which Jesus is building his church. The Roman Catholic Church might appeal to this to say this is why Peter's the first pope, and maybe he's a spokesperson for the 12, or maybe he thinks least before speaking, so he, by de facto, is the first person that speaks. But he's not the foundation of the church. Do you know who else has got a nickname, The Rock? Oh, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson. See him in this photo with Kevin Hart, his good mate. Can you see why he's got this nickname? He's big, he's solid, he's great. But have you also seen this photo of The Rock next to Shaquille O'Neal? Yeah, who's The Rock now? So also with Simon called Peter and Jesus who is the Messiah. Peter knows it's Jesus, not him. He writes a letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and he quotes Isaiah 28, which was read for us before. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, and a sure foundation. Peter knows that Jesus is the foundation. More specifically, that the church is built on the foundation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And as a message of Christ goes out, God will build his church. It's like there's this cosmic battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Hades, the realm of the dead. But Hades doesn't stand a chance. The Son of the living God, he defeats death. The gates of hell will not prevail. No opposition can overcome Jesus. And so there's great comfort being on Jesus' side. To know the truth about Jesus should give us great strength. Not because we've worked it out, but because God's revealed this to us. And so as Isaiah 28 continues, the one who relies on it, that is the stone, will never be stricken with panic. Now I must confess that before asking my parkrun buddies about who they thought Jesus was, there was a bit of panic that went through my heart. What will they say? What will they think of me? Maybe you think of this too if you think about who you might want to ask this to. I don't know what opposition you might face for speaking in public about Jesus. What was Isaiah's opposition? Well, back in Isaiah 28, verse 15, he says, "You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death, with the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement." You know, people today have the same boast. I'll be all right. The devil's organized this great party that we're all going to get to. Death's not going to be a problem. But what's God's response? Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the realm of the dead will not stand. Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome." Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God's Son. This is the answer to the most important question. This is a foundation for God's church. This is a foundation for all of life. So why should we care? Why should we care about this answer to who do you say Jesus is? Well, the answer gets people into God's church. This is the boundary marker of who is in and who is outside of God's kingdom. So the next verse in Matthew 16, verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Peter might be the spokesperson for the 12 apostles. He's an example for them, but also an example for us, that what is bound, what is kept, what is secured here on earth will be bound in heaven. And what is loosed, what is untied, what is left out on earth, it'll be left out of heaven in the age to come. Because our earthly answers have consequences for all eternity. What we say on earth will impact what heaven looks like. We care, we must care, because eternity is at stake. There's gates of Hades, and there are the pearly gates, the entrance to the kingdom of God. How do we unlock God's kingdom? How do we get into the kingdom of heaven? We need the keys. And the key is this answer. What's the question that's going to be asked? Not some weird guy with long hair saying, "What's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?" Neither will you be asked, "Who are you?" Nor even, "How did you live?" You'll stand at the pearly gates and be asked the most important question. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? God is building his church. He does this by revealing Jesus. And the church is built on the foundation, the confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. How do you know if you're in? Well, who do you say Jesus is? God is building his church. He does this by revealing Jesus. And so will we all get on board with God's grand design? Will we care that people will also say what is true and right about Jesus? Eternity is at stake. Their place, a place of our loved ones, our friends, our neighbours and our colleagues, their place in the kingdom is on the line. Their position, whether they are in or out of God's church for all eternity, it rests on the answer to this question. Who do you say Jesus is? And so we point people to Jesus and we pray. So let's pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did send Jesus into the world, that he is the Messiah, the King, your chosen King, that he is your Son, the Son of the living God. And we thank you that in your kindness you have revealed this to us from heaven. We ask that you will help us to live this truth, to speak this truth, that what we say about Jesus is always true. And we ask that you will grow our concern for those whom we love, who do not yet know Jesus as King. Help us to point them to him, but we ask that you would save them. Open their eyes, soften their hearts, help them to behold Jesus, your Son, the Messiah. And we ask that you do this work to build your church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.